welcome to the Revenue Hub podcast. I'm Trevor Grant. Through these podcasts, we aim to discuss topics relevant to professionals within the hotel, travel and leisure sectors. Whether you're in a revenue management function, reservations, front office operations, digital marketing or sales, we hope the topics discussed will be of interest and either answer some questions or maybe prompt some more. Okay, so today we're joined by three guests from Real Hotels Group, and in a minute I'll get them to introduce themselves. In this podcast, we're going to look at introducing revenue management into your F&B operations. Our guests have experience of implementing exactly that. We're going to touch on SOPs, forecasting, sharing short-term results, gaining buy-in, and metrics around this. Okay, let's not keep our guests waiting any longer. Alexandra, would you like to introduce yourself and your colleagues, please?
Yes. So my name is Alexander Pereira. I am a revenue management enthusiast, beginning this journey in September 2010 in Real Hotels. Had a little bit of a spell in Scandinavia with collaborating with the Radisson Hotel Group during 3 years, and then came back to Real Hotels to more or less continue this journey from 2016 until now. In the revenue management F&B department, I have two colleagues with me, Vasilis. Go ahead.
Hello, my name is Vasilis Klapanaris. I'm a Greek national. I am within hotel groups of Real Hotel Groups since July this last year. And I'm really looking forward to developing all this new science we are trying to implement here.
And in the south of Portugal, reaching us via Skype as well, we have Vasco. Vasco, talk a little bit about yourself.
Well, my name is Vasco. I'm living here in the sunny Algarve. I started working in the F&B revenue management for 2 years here in the Real Hotels Group. I've got a background in reception and also in F&B operation.
Super. Thank you to the three of you for joining us, giving up your time. It really is appreciated.
Thank you for the interview, Trevor.
You're welcome. So I think what we'll do, we'll kick off if we can, Alexandra. Just first of all, could you just tell us a little bit about the backstory? You know, when you came to Real Hotels, where did the thought process start about bringing, you know, the revenue management into F&B? I mean, we all know the topic of total revenue management has been around for many years, but what space was Real Hotels Group in at the time when you came, and you know, what was the prompt to move this forward?
Yeah, well, Real Hotels has an interesting story. We started with our first hotel back in 1994, so we were actually celebrating our 25th anniversary. We are a 100% Portuguese national hotel group. We have at this stage 10 hotels, and the thing about our hotels is that every single one of them is completely different than the other. So we have since all-inclusive, MICE, city, a leisure resort, nature hotels. So this gives us, first of all, a lot of fun, and second of all, a lot of different angles of analysis, either in revenue management wise and also in terms of sales, marketing, and all the operations around it. Okay. So back in 2015, the previous colleague that was in charge of the director of revenue, because I at this stage was in the Radisson Hotel Group. Mm-hmm. Along with the board, started realizing what has been the trend in our revenues over the last four or five years, alongside with the market growth of Algarve and Lisbon, started to looking at the room side and noticing a double digit increase, and that it then started looking at the F&B. And noting that in proportion wise, it was not going in the same direction. Right. Just to push a little bit back, which I think it makes sense. We started off, as I said earlier, in revenue management, like 95% of the hotel groups, or 100% in accommodation. We developed the routines, segmentation, pricing structure, yield management, forecasting, along 5 or 6 years. And then we looked back and we said, okay, why not? We have a little bit of control already on the room side. Why not look at our F&B dimension and MICE and function space and start looking at the revenue opportunities that we have in place?
Right. Yeah.
Either revenues, either bottom line results were not as great in the F&B side, as there were a double digits increase year over year in the room side. Of course, we also know that F&B, there are a lot of variable costs as well, either in human resources and either in food cost, of course. So there were quite obvious reflections that were made in order for us to start here developing the F&B side.
Sounds like a challenging project to take on, as you say, with the variables not only in your properties, but as you say, also in the operation within the F&B.
Yes. We know it depends on markets, but it's more or less common that F&B is also one of the areas that is more demanding from the client's point of view.
Yep.
It's also one of the, it's either location, and then specifically if you're talking about resort hotels, F&B and the value that is perceived by the clients can be of great, it's a decision making, it's a process in choosing your hotel. We started to look a little bit around in the national market, and we realized that there was I think it's fair to say, I hope I'm not being not just with somebody, but nobody was making F&B revenue management. So we thought that we could have a little bit of a competitive edge by started to doing it. And again, if on the accommodation side, we had the revenue management procedures in place, we had the revenue management already culture and day by day mindset, in the F&B side, we still had here a lot of gray areas. Who was responsible for doing what? What type of data? Our clients, price positioning, product. So we had here a lot of, let's say it, excuses for us to roll into the F&B side.
Very good. Very good. Now, when we spoke the other day, as we were sort of talking through this topic and trying to put a loose structure around this conversation, it was really interesting when you were talking about the first steps that you sort of undertook, you and your team, in terms of trying to move towards. You know, you can't just turn up and say this is what we're going to do. You've got to get people to understand why you're trying to achieve it. So what we were looking at in terms of starting to talk about what were the operating procedures that you needed to put in place. You mentioned the need to start to do some forecasting. But what really struck me as an earlier point, and I don't know which one came first, so I'm going to throw it over to you to take the lead. But when you were talking about sharing those short-term results, coming up with some initiatives that enabled you to start to illustrate very broadly how revenue management within F&B could influence and drive revenue into the properties, and by bringing awareness to that enabled you to then lay the groundwork for the greater sophistication you went on to bring into place. So do you want to sort of just take us to those first steps and how you started on that journey? And happy for your colleagues to jump in if wherever they were part of that process too.
Yes. As it was a new role, as it is all about at the early stage to lift stone after stone and seeing under the surface what are things that can be improved. These first early steps were, as you can imagine, a learning process. I think it was a learning process. There were a lot of, one of the initial challenges that we faced there were a lot of different expectations. Mm-hmm. Okay. Expectations from the board, expectation from the main stakeholders, the GMs, the F&B directors, financial controllers, sales, marketing. If you, maybe now at this stage, if you ask any one of them individually what they think that we should be scoping or analyzing, maybe you'll end up with six or seven different types of opinions. Initially, there were either expectations that we were going to be looking at the cost side of F&B. Some thought that we should be looking at employer rentability or profitability or productivity, sorry. Mm-hmm. How many people that we should have in the workplace of the restaurant and of the bar, etc. Others thought that we should mainly be doing reporting. So in order for us to set up the procedure, the immediate action was to do a job description and to get everybody on board of what the revenue manager, F&B revenue manager, should be doing. Mm-hmm. Let's focus on the revenues. So in order to get that in place, of course, we had the pilot hotels. So we did not get every hotel on board at the first place. Sure. But we started immediately, and this is always something that I recommend. It's very painful process, but it's what gives you the correct and the most clear diagnosis of where to attack in the first place, which is forecasting.
Okay.
So through forecasting, we were able to see to look at our data and to see how much it was punched in the face. Let's put it this way: how much. In the mud was our data, what we needed, what type of data that we needed, and this is still ongoing. This process will never end. This will still continue always to be ongoing. We started by creating routines, so end of month forecasting, getting all the stakeholders in meetings. We started changing also the mindset of the hotel group, either the operation side and also in sales and marketing. We started looking at segmentation because, of course, every F&B outlet is a segment. Yep. So we started looking at our cafe, our restaurants. Do we have enough segmented and detailed data? And we started to do very simple revenue management actions and sharing results. Mm-hmm. So this is, for example, we have here in the city hotels, back when there was the market was a little bit low here in Lisbon in 2012, 2013, we sold room only rates, and we had the rooms revenue manager always, of course, focused on the room side. So once we got F&B on board, we rates or rooms with breakfast included. And immediately after three or four days of 20%. Let's share that. Let's share that with the operations team.
I think we just lost you a minute there. Could you just repeat that bit again? Sorry, the line just cut out a little bit.
Okay. Do you hear me now?
Yes, that's good.
Okay, sorry. So we looked at one of the channels, and I think that the room side is also a very good distribution channel to sell F&B. Mm-hmm. And we started only on particular hotels with high demand, only rooms with breakfast. After a couple of months, we shared that with the GMs, with the directors of F&B, and said, okay, with this very simple yield management tool, we have been able to increase our breakfast revenues in 20% for these three properties. One of the things that Vasco did also in the Algarve hotels was to sell an upselling routines in the front office for the guest that arrives and does not have his dinner still included. Okay. So with that, we were able also to sell the upselling of dinners in around from 5 to 10%.
Okay.
So it was a very, first of all, we needed to focus onto what we were going where we were going to start. We needed to, once we started, define some strategies, and once these strategies were in place, share with the hotels, share with the stakeholders what were the results already of the hotels that were already on board in F&B.
Very, very good. Now, you touched a little bit on establishing a forecast first of all was one of the key things.
Mm-hmm.
It may not be as straightforward as, you know, the five key areas that maybe you felt were missing that were the first things that you put in place, but were there some really standout areas that if you were saying to somebody now, if you are not forecasting, these are the areas you need to seriously be looking at?
Absolutely. We have in forecasting, it depends of course on the characteristics of the hotels, but we have the hotel that have a lot of MICE revenue through banking, it is even more important to start the forecasting right away. Mm-hmm. Why? Because the pattern of purchase is it has a large booking window. Right. So the decisions to be made are, of course, of the pattern. They need to be well behind in time. So you need to know exactly what are your needs, what are the trends in the market in order for you to make your very best decisions. If you're going to sell a menu for the group, the menu A, that is only 25 euros, or if you're going to do the upselling and restricting and only selling the higher charged menus.
Understood.
So I would say that that would be one of the first angles, one of the first revenue streams that you should focus. But above all, the main reason for forecasting, in my point of view, is not at the end of the day if you reach 3% deviation or if you reach 3.2% deviation. It's the process itself.
Yeah.
It's finding out in advance where you should focus, where are the segments, the outlets that are in need, what has been the last month trends versus budgets and versus last years, what exactly are your clients, and getting all the operations teams and marketing and sales combining different actions in order to get to maximize the revenues in each one of the outlets. Also, one of the big opportunities that we saw was, since I was telling you earlier, we have so many different hotels. Each hotel has had one procedure. So each hotel, the client would arrive at the restaurant, and one hotel would, yes, recognize that client and put in the system that it were three clients. The other hotel would only put the adults. The other hotel would only put the female guests. I'm exaggerating here a little bit, but
sure, you're making each one of,
but each one of them had different procedures. One of the hotels said that the client arrived at the table at half an hour after the actual time.
Right.
So the client would spend only 10 minutes having dinner, according to one hotel. In the other hotel, the client would spend 3 hours. So there were a lot of different procedures. One hotel, the client would have had dinner, an entrecote with potatoes, and our colleague in the table would say that he would have had a salad. So there were procedures that were wrong, that were not transversal. Okay, mm-hmm. First of all, wrong, and second of all, not everybody did it the same way. So we had a lot of data, and we still do, I think, to be fair to ourselves.
Exactly.
We still have some data challenges and that they were immediately noticed once we started forecasting and once we started realizing what type of needs that we needed and what type of procedures that we needed to have in place.
Understood. And I think it picks up on something that you said right at the beginning when we touched on this second area where you were talking about looking at your data and seeing what data you had, and then you've just illustrated there that you had some data, there's then mixed data. How did you go about? I mean, you spoke about procedures. How did you go about bringing about procedures that would start to standardize what you were extracting out of that F&B operation?
Yeah, I think this is pretty much linked to looking at what type of data, what do we want to measure? What are the KPIs that are relevant? And in order to get those KPIs, what do we need to, what type of procedures we need to have in place in order for that data to be transparent? This was, again, something that was a little bit of a learning curve, because we didn't have that much references in terms of hospitality. Here in Portugal. So we did a little bit of research, and we started to first look, okay, what do we want? We want to evaluate what is the occupation of our restaurants. We want to evaluate what is our revenue per available seat hour. Okay, yes, we need to have that. So we need to have everybody to put the check in the micros in the same hour as the client that is there. Yes, we need to have occupation per restaurant. So we need everybody to put in the system the covers of the clients that are having dinner. Yes, we want to analyze what is the average per cover, so the average per meal. And if that average depends on the hour, depends on the day of week, it depends on if it's a Christmas period or if it's a low season, yes, we want to analyze that. So we need to have the revenues and the covers in place and everybody putting everything in the system at the correct time. Okay, we want to see what type of menus that we sell during peak season. If we sell low rate menus with one coffee break or maybe a lighter meal, or if we only sell the higher menus with two coffee breaks and a four course dinner. Yes, we want to look at that. So we need everybody to use exactly the same, let's put it, rate codes, for us to be able to track and to measure that. Do we want to look at the percentage of outside guests versus in-house guests? Yes. So we need to, when the operations puts in the system, they need to say if this is an outside guest or if this is an in-house guest. I don't know if you want to add something of what we're seeing about regarding here the KPIs, Vasco.
Yes, Alexandre, about the KPIs?
Yeah.
Well, about the KPIs here in the it always depends from the hotels. About the KPIs. The average prices they are very important. Also the percentage of guests we have here in the hotels who go to our restaurants. We need to measure this to check how the guests are accepting to come to our restaurants, if they are doing it well or not.
Makes sense. Yeah.
Yes. Another KPI is the times, the hour that the guests go to our restaurants or even the bars. The revenue per hour and also the revenue per weekday.
Okay, that makes sense. So you see if there's different variables earlier in the evening, later in the evening, either side of the weekend possibly. Yeah, and that combined with are they there, your guests or external guests, that combination is important. That makes sense.
Yes, and also the performance of the restaurants and bars, depending on the time of the day. For example, if they are going to have dinner, of course, the bar will have less revenue. But after the dinner time, it will be bigger revenue.
No, that makes sense. Anything? I mean, to me, that leads into a question, a logical question. Having heard all of those KPIs, all of that information, But before we move on to the next, which links us into the next point, is there anything else around the KPIs or the short-term wins that you want to touch on at this point?
Through some of the broad analysis that we've been, and just to share with the listeners, maybe it's the sometimes it's the small things that make difference. So don't resist to the temptation of starting to do a big, a broad strategy of F&B, focused first on the small details. And I can give you an example. We started looking at revenue per available seat hour in one of our restaurants, and we noticed that around lunchtime, there were significant differences between 1 to 2 o'clock in the afternoon. This is where when Portuguese people have lunch. Mm-hmm. And then from 2 to 3 o'clock, the revenues went down, the revenue per available seat went down about 70 or 80%. So one small thing that we did was encourage a happy hour or to have a late lunch during that period. And with that in place, during 1 year, we saw the revenues from that time going from increasing about 25 to 30%.
Wow.
So we started with these very simple KPIs, sharing the results, evaluating where our F&B, where, when, at which price our F&B is sold, and looking at how we can optimize each one of the revenue, each one of the booking windows, either if it's in the rest in the hotel, or if it is in advance. In advance, when I talk about in advance, is banqueting, is all the packaging that we do.
Mm-hmm.
The I don't know, the full board package. We have the all inclusive. We have the New Year's Eve Easter package. So we even in this static distribution, we try to have variable F&B rates in order to optimize, work with early bookings, work with menu mixing, upselling the menus, and we try to cover up all these different places.
Very good. Very good.
Yes. For example, that Alexandre was talking about the Réveillon and the Easter's, we check every year how it was and how we need to make for the new Easter dinner, for example.
Mm-hmm.
Or for the new Réveillon dinner or gala, and we check the prices, we check the people that we have in our restaurants, and we. Sometimes we have to remake the prices.
Right.
You know, Vasco made a very interesting analysis before the summer period in our resort hotel. We have a big 344-room resort hotel in the south. And we were cross-checking the amount of people that we can have in the restaurant versus the product that we were offering.
Okay.
Either it is a buffet, either it is a carte, a la carte, mm-hmm. either it's set menu, and either if the buffet has a theme or not.
Okay.
Okay, either it's Italian, I don't know, Mediterranean, Greece, Indian. So we got to the conclusion after that analysis is done that every time we allocated a theme, and of course the buffet was actually of that theme, we were able to sell that buffet 10 times more to the clients that were in the hotel.
Wow.
So we brought that information into operations, and we thought, okay, why not start with the thematic buffets earlier in the summer? Why only start in July and August? Why not start in June and September,
mm-hmm.
in order to increase the sales with the clients, in-house sales with the clients that we have in the hotel?
Mm-hmm.
So it takes a little bit of imagination, but at the end of the day, it's extremely rewarding. This type of best practices that we have had in place in some hotels.
And that must be very satisfying for you guys as well, you know, because you're coming here with ideas, and you know these are you're taking these tentative steps, as you say. There's nobody around you was doing it in this particular way, so to be able to introduce these initiatives to trial them out, to then be able to produce the outcome and the data to then show and evaluate and in a way prove that it does work and there's some value to it. That's, you know, that must be very fulfilling.
Yes. it's very fulfilling. Yes, it's very and very interesting because we can show to the operations, to the general manager, that our data, it's correct.
And that leads me on brilliantly, thank you, to kind of this point that I wanted to bring up in terms of getting buy-in, because, you know, you could talk to the owners, you could talk to the general managers, you know, they kind of get revenue if you bring us more top line revenue and it's not going to cost us too much more and we make more profit, great. That's fine. You still have to prove that the ideas, which you started on those steps. But one thing that stood out to me is that something that you mentioned earlier, A, in terms of ensuring consistency, well, A, gaining more data, and B, ensuring consistency of data. Now, that involves people changing the habits. Getting people to change habits when they don't quite see what the value is to them is not an easy task to achieve. So how did, and I'm sure it's ongoing, I know you know, as you've said before, it's a process that continues to evolve, but you've obviously reached a point where you have been able to get a buy-in from those in the food and beverage operations to see the value of gaining this additional data and having a standardization. How did you go about achieving that? Because that's a real challenge.
Yeah, for sure. I think in the early stages, it is very important for us to be at the hotels. Mm-hmm. So this was something that this was a decision made mainly when I arrived, because the revenue the F&B revenue management had a little bit of a different focus at that times. Of course, there was as I said earlier. There were a lot of different expectations.
Yep.
So once we got our priorities straightened out, we started to go at the hotels and to spend day after day with the F&B directors, with the people, with our colleagues from the from front office, from waiters. First of all, listening. Okay, what do they expect? What are their difficulties, and how can we help them in terms of operations, in terms of team management, and in terms of making smart decisions for their outlets. Mm-hmm. So that was something that was valuable. We resisted to the temptation to all of a sudden go back to our corporate offices and to stay and to start crunching numbers. No, first of all, we needed to check out the reality of the hotels. As you know, F&B, well, across hospitality here in Portugal, we're experiencing maybe due to the extreme increases that we have had over the last 5 years, we have a little bit of a human resource difficulty. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of turnover. There's a high turnover in the teams. So we needed to look to see what were their difficulties in that aspect. We involved them in all the decisions, and this we continue to do. We involved them in all our pricing decisions. We held regular, but I think now a more efficient meetings. Revenue meetings with them, in order for them to give them also the control and to make their life easier and to create here a little bit of shortcuts in order for where they need to focus, sharing the results, advertising these very simple things that we have done, we reached a stage, Trevor, that we had the hotels that didn't have F&B pressuring us to get them on board as soon as possible.
It just shows you're doing your job well.
Apparently, we were able to deceive a lot of people. we had a time of learning, of listening, and then to start questioning. So it's different. We first listened, and then we started asking the right questions, and then we started doing some value propositions. Starting, what if we did it this way? What if? But have you thought of this? And then we started, and then the F&B. So this is one of the most common questions that some of my colleagues ask me. But what does the director of F&B think of this? Now all of a sudden we have these guys. They're good looking, of course, but they're still. We have these guys telling us what price should I have of my menu for tomorrow.
Right.
And then we have the chef of the cuisine of the kitchen also saying, oh, this guy says that I should sell this type of plate at this price and not at the other price. And this was something that we needed to fight to gain our space within the organization. But in order to do that, we first had this stage of trying to make their life a little bit easier, their processes more efficient, in order then for them to be a little bit more open, for us to show them, to overwhelm them, let's put it this way, with all the data that we were eager to share.
Understood. And I guess for Vasilis and for Vesco, I mean, you've all been involved in it, but I guess these guys are at the front end, day in, day out, working with the hotels. Is that right?
Yes.
And how
exactly?
How have you found it from a maybe an unfair question, and you might not want to say publicly, how have you found that process? What have been some of the challenges, and what have been some of the real positives and successes that you've enjoyed from it?
So, to be totally honest, Trevor, it's quite tough. I will be honest. It's quite tough to speak with the F&B and show them the change, mm-hmm. and show them how useful can be our forecasts, because we just want a compromise from them to insert things properly in the point of sales systems.
Yeah.
So we can track sales separately for each revenue center. That will be food, beverage, for restaurants, for bars, then insert the proper items in the system, menus, buffets, a la carte, for the different meal periods, as Alexandre said, to insert the proper time hours, to then calculate the revenue per available seat hour. Mm-hmm. So we need from their side the compromise that they will insert the things properly, and to show them how useful it will be, because then we can show them the global picture. They have a more point of view of day-to-day,
yes.
on the operation.
Yeah.
They cannot know what happens every Monday, or what happens on the weekends, or what is the average cover that we're doing in lunches on Saturdays, or brunch on Sundays. So we give them more insight on what to forecast, and perhaps maybe how to staff their teams. And so we try to increase the efficiency mm-hmm. in the operation.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense.
Yes. And it's very, very important for us to follow the operation, and also go to the meetings in the morning with the other departments, check everything. And to share the information that we have. Another thing here, to gaining the communication with the hotel operations, it's the reports that we provide to them. Mm-hmm. For example, today we can make a weekly, a daily report to the operation, how we are. Depending on the day, how many people we have in the hotel,
yep.
And how much revenue we need to make on this day.
Makes sense. That makes sense.
Yeah.
And so we're trying here a little bit to do daily forecasting. So the F&B side knows exactly how many people were expected to have dinner at the hotel yesterday, how many did, and in order to compensate the people that didn't, how many they have to sell more today in order to meet the forecast, or in order to meet the budgets per outlet, if it's external, if it's in-house client, what type of rate that they need to sell, and if they need to sell more drinks or if they need to sell more food. And if they need to sell more drinks, if they need to sell second or third drink, or if they need to upsell directly the first drink. So these are some techniques that we're trying to implement.
But as you say, it all comes back to, unless you actually have a focus around this, and unless you start to develop some data, some metrics, and an understanding of the value, all of these elements that come after it, all of these suggestions, all of these initiatives, you can't identify which way you should be going unless you're forecasting and evaluating against that forecast and then setting some of these plans in place.
Yeah, that is correct. Any type of strategy needs to have a strong mindset, action and result oriented profile. Mm-hmm. So this is something, and this is why we have these regular revenue meetings with the hotel staff, Vasco and Vasilis. They have a completely different profile than my room's revenue managers, mm-hmm. which are more corporate. So we have this, we have this cluster environment, but they are within the revenue management department. We have the F&B revenue managers, Vasco and Vasilis, are spending a lot of time in the hotels, doing the follow-ups, attending the operation meetings, sharing the results, analyzing what are the different pressure points over the upcoming weeks, what type of products. As you can imagine, we have, I don't know, it's 40 or 50 different type of F&B products that we launch in every hotel per year, more or less.
Because exactly.
We have the packaging, we have the seasonal. How much were they, Vasco? I was wondering how many F&B products. Well, we know that because we've done a calendar of all the F&B products, and we rolled it out to yesterday. But it was like around 450.
Wow.
For the 10 hotels.
Yes.
It's all about. We're talking about everything, Trevor. So it's launching the new menus, the Valentine's Day dinner, the Easter lunch that we're having, the New Year's Eve, I don't know, anything that you can. The next Sunday we're having the Father's Day,
exactly. Okay.
So we were talking about what type of offer are we going to give to the fathers. We had the International Women's Day last Friday, mm-hmm. So we talked about ladies' night or happy hour drinks or so it's a lot of things. It's the big broad of things. And one of the things that we try to develop is to, and in order for us to get, this was also a little bit political, I might say,
sure.
But in order for us to gain our space within the organization, we started to assist, and we wanted to assist all departments that are involved in creating and selling a specific F&B product. We wanted to give it a little bit of method to define exactly on which stage each department intervenes, starts in the kitchen, passes through F&B, goes to marketing. Marketing works it graphically, passes to sales sells, revenue tracks, revenue shares results. So we have, we try to identify in which stage each department is involved in order to make everybody's life a little bit easier.
That sounds very. It sounds a massive challenge, but sounds like a great way of doing it.
Yeah, yes. It is. Just to give you an example, we were supposed to roll this out 4 months ago, and we only did it yesterday for 2019.
Yes. I'm sure 2020 it'll be further. You'll be ahead of the curve.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, but and for example, this last year we improved a lot the F&B revenue management. We are having always new ideas and then new procedures. It's a very, very interesting area that we are developing here.
Because we need to to discipline and optimize the 35% revenue that comes in the group through F&B at the end.
As you say, I mean, it's, you know, it's not the same as rooms, but it is a big amount of money.
It's massive.
You know, and to just leave it sitting there is just crazy.
Yes, indeed. And it's crazy because, for example, the rooms revenue managers, they can have all the data and they make decisions. For us, it's very different. We need the data. We need the people to talk with, to share our opinions and data, make the decisions. It's not a 5 seconds decision and it's done. We have a long way from the decision till we make it happen.
I was going to say, actually, it's interesting you make that point, because you wonder if a lot of the reasons why people don't do it and only talk about it is that it is a much longer commitment, because you do have to get people to buy in. It does involve a lot more of operations to make these changes and gather this information, that sometimes it's very easy to say, oh yeah, let's look at F&B, let's look at MICE, let's look at our spa. But the moment you move outside of the room, where you obviously are getting a lot of the information and data that you need from when they're initially booking anyhow, you know, the moment you move into the other departments, it becomes so much more variable. The human element comes in. It is a longer term process in terms of bringing about that change. And sometimes you could argue it's maybe hard to justify it. But when you look at the numbers and when you listen to the increase that you have generated in the revenue in the F&B, it would seem to be worth that effort.
Yes. It's very, very interesting for us to see all the results that we have. We can see that from 2 years ago to now, we improved the revenue per client, per available client, in more than 10%. Wow. per day. Well, we've got the data in our side. We know how the operations, the F&B operations work, how many people we can take to the restaurants and the bars, the average prices. And sometimes you don't have that kind of information in the other hotels. Mm-hmm. You just make it happen because you have to have the F&B working in the hotel. But we can make more revenue and profits working the way we work.
That makes sense.
As you know, Trevor, F&B is not exactly known as being one of the most profitable streams, mm-hmm, of hospitality. You know, you cannot compare the bottom line of F&B with the room side.
Absolutely.
But with this type of structure, you can notice that there is a big influence, either in leveraging your food cost, and also making the processes more efficient in order. What is something that is extremely defying here as well is to try to get this F&B revenue management focus, or this total revenue management focus, across the organization. Because traditionally, you have the rooms revenue manager, or you have the revenue manager, mm-hmm, focused on the room side.
Yep.
And then you have sales focusing on the segment side.
Yep.
Okay, so they want the MICE, they want the rooms to sell their MICE, they want their corporate rooms as well, they want their wholesaler rooms as well. And then you have marketing looking at other KPIs. So at the end of the day, sometimes I have Vasco and Vasilis, because we started to doing a little bit cross-checking of what segments give us more revenue. More mm-hmm. F&B revenue. Mm-hmm. So imagine in one of the hotels, we realized that we has the leisure groups, those not so good looking leisure groups. But at one stage, we saw that the leisure groups were giving us banqueting, and they were giving us a consumption in the restaurants.
Okay.
So on one side, yeah, they have this half board, the half board operations that they keep half boards. So on one hand, I had the rooms revenue starting wanting to close out those leisure groups because she was selling online at a 25 or 30% rate gap, much higher. But then I have the F&B revenue manager saying, no, I want the leisure groups because of the F&B revenue. At one stage, there has to be this balance that needs to be done in order. And as you can imagine, we have, 150 decisions that we need to make per day. So the challenge is to gather all the data in order to make these decisions. Either it's on yielding, either it's on replying to group quotes that come from sales. So this is something that we need to have a very good architecture of how we are going to organize our data to make our decisions even more faster and even more smarter.
Exactly, because it's about splitting the pie in terms of groups. You just don't want the groups, for example, incentives that just come to sleep in your rooms and occupy all your rooms.
Yeah.
You like to confirm a group, a conference, and we'll have some F&B. So you try to set a minimum F&B consumption per room night, maybe.
Yeah.
But that's, as you say, what you're starting to get down to there is looking at what is the actual value, and it's horrible to put a number on it, but that's the world we live in. For every guest, how valuable are they? If they're just coming and sleeping in your room and that's all they're doing, they have a value. If they're now coming and going into the spa and eating in your restaurant and having coffee and drinks at your bar, suddenly their value is significantly greater, and then your ability to recognize and see that and then be able to reach out to them at a later stage and continue to draw them in and develop incentives for them that reflect the way that they've operated within your hotel. You're continually looking at ways of maximizing that revenue, but then ensuring that that revenue returns back to you.
It's true. Yeah, even with the groups, and Vasilis talked about it, we check as well the minimum fee in F&B for the groups. When you accept an F&B, when you accept a group, we don't look only to the rooms revenue. We need to check as well the food and beverage revenue. Mm-hmm. Sometimes even the room revenue can be lower, but the F&B revenue can be bigger.
It's a bit like how the casinos have been historically, and I mean, I don't know a great deal about the business, so I wouldn't try and proffer that I am. But in the way that you hear that people that used to, the big spenders, and they would comp the room because they knew that the revenue they were putting across the operation was far greater than the room revenue alone.
Yeah. And we have tried. We have looked at our distribution channels, we have looked at our segments, and we have cross-checked to which one of the segments give us more total revenue management. Mm-hmm. And this we have tried with our yearly contracting in our resort hotels. We still have quite a few FIT business, mm-hmm. and that's good because we need the FITs in the resort in the resort hotels. And we have tried to give them different options on how to sell our rooms. We have tried to give them half board, full board rates, a different type of F&B basis, and they have reacted well. And we have been, able to increase the revenues that are already guaranteed, which is the half board, the breakfast revenues that don't depend on if the client is willing to stay to have dinner at the hotel. No, the client has already bought his dinner before.
Sure.
And we've tried to give it a little bit of more of a dynamic, either online and either offline, through how we sell our rooms. Also includes the F&B dimension in order to in advance guarantee a base revenue in our outlets.
That's very good. Very good. Now, I'm conscious, guys, we've been talking for about 55 minutes, so this time has absolutely flown, which is credit to the three of you, because it's been really fascinating. But I am conscious you've probably got a lot more to do than to sit here talking with me all evening. So I think I just really, where do you go from here? Just in the last few minutes or so, moving forward, what are some of the areas where you want to improve around the F&B? Are there other departments that you're now shifting, shifting your focus onto a little bit more than you had before?
Well, the immediate step is for us to get better.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry,
it's
a little bit, but we need to get better. We need to have better data.
Exactly.
We need to have a more solid and robust technology mm-hmm. that can give us we can be able to cross infinite variables. We want to start checking out nationalities. Which type of nationality is looking more for our F&B outlets? Mm-hmm. Segments. We want to cross check a lot of things. Mm-hmm. One of the things that we are also looking at since we do it sometimes but not consistently is profit wise.
Mm-hmm.
So, and this is something that is big in F&B because of the things that we were discussing earlier.
Yep.
So we want to be looking at profitability, of course, having the cost structure a little bit more organized, a little bit more segmented. We want to start doing, we want to continue, as we started already, doing a daily analysis, more detailed. Lifting stones. I think that we will constantly be lifting stones and seeing what is underneath.
Yep.
Vasilij, I don't know if you had here a couple
yes,
of things.
It's not about cost basing, as Alexander said. It's more about focusing on differential pricing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not only good value. It's not just offering the right quality product to the right portion size, accompanied by the right service for the right price. It's also selling the right seat to the right customer at the right price for the right duration.
Yeah.
It's like really focusing on revenue per available seat hour.
Okay.
There are ways through differential pricing, like Alexander mentioned about happy hour,
mm-hmm.
when we saw that in low demand periods, we had to target with discounts to promote volume. On the other side, in really high demanded times and periods, we need to maximize our seat turnover
yeah.
and use maybe selected menu items that are quickly to prepare, say to our kitchen, listen, now you will prepare just this and this and that,
mm-hmm.
which will optimize seat utilization and seat turnover.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. It's about many, many, many things and factors and having always the compromise of F&B to have the data right. And then maybe another area to explore, it's the revenue management of the conference rooms. As we said, we are always doing yearly statistics and try to calculate booking windows. For example, our Christmas corporate events that take place in December. We need to define what will be the appropriate menu rates and menu offers for different days of the week. So we saw, for example, that Thursdays and Fridays were highly demanded, so why not quote higher prices compared to Mondays and Tuesdays?
Yeah.
And maybe, as we know that our booking window is smaller and smaller, so maybe refuse offers that take place 2 months in advance.
Mm-hmm.
And same applies for the sales and marketing department. My previous experience was in the Ritz-Carlton in the sales and marketing department. So in sales, we saw the booking windows getting smaller and smaller for MICE. So now it goes the following. For the DDR packages, the daily delegate rates,
mm-hmm.
for events and groups, for conferences. So should we confirm a big group that will only occupy half of our spaces and maybe have half DDRs, for example, the one coffee break and one lunch? So the utilization of our meeting spaces will go only 50%. And should we sell this 2 and 5 months in advance, when we know that the booking window it's less than a month, and we yeah. see the evolution on the books during the last month, that we always confirm more than 50% of the business during the month. So should we maybe opt for that and confirm business last minute at maybe a higher rate, but we are sure that we'll occupy the 100% of the space.
Yeah, I think it's all about us continuing to crunch all the because now we are a little bit overwhelmed with all the data.
Exactly.
And I think this is, I came from a conference this morning where we're discussing artificial intelligence, and I am completely shocked with what is going to happen in the next decade. So I don't think none of us know what's going to happen in machine learning and what's happening now as we speak.
Absolutely. So
we need to see what the future is going to be, look at all the data that we have, get smarter making our decisions, make our procedures more solid, and let's see if we can look at the cost side. I'm not putting that away. Vasco and Vasilis, they have this incredible passion, and for them, we would do, 10 different things per day, but I'm the guy that's always there putting a brake, because, I'm sorry about that, by the way.
You've got the reins on two wild horses.
Yes.
In the cost, we already have this tool that we call it POD. Mm-hmm. It's like a daily forecast plan that we have. The forecasting for how many boards and room onlys and dinners we will have and lunches, and this gives you all the information about how many people you will have in the hotel, the times that you have more revenue in the restaurants and bars, and this kind of information is very important for all the operation, so they can have the right people at the right times in these outlets, and also for the cost in the kitchen, so they can buy the things that they need in time and the quantities they really need. This is very interesting. It's a really interesting tool to check to control the costs and also to make more profit.
So that's the end of today's podcast. I hope you enjoyed it. If you had any questions or future topic suggestions, please feel free to reach out via content@revenue-hub.com. Thank you all for listening. If you like what you heard, please subscribe, like, and tell your colleagues and friends. Catch you next time.